Gap.
Speaking of the Gap, is this another version of the Jimmy? Another version of the Jimmy Don Show? I'm a little disappointed that Jack Rhodes is not here today.
Yeah, man, he hasn't been around.
Jack, he's at a birthday party.
Okay, that's too bad because I want to talk a little bit today about the Paris riots.
Oh, and yeah, he had some input.
And he, huh, yeah, huh, he spent a lot of time in Paris.
Yep.
So maybe we'll catch him on the backside or something. Anyway, this is the Jimmy Don Show. Here it is, end of the first week, roughly in November, and 2005. We welcome you back. Thank you all for listening. Send your emails to jimmy@jimmydone.com. And we notice that our numbers are increasing every day, which we're pleased to hear people listening. Maybe one of these days we'll actually get a real paying gig. That'd be nice. Today we have Curtis.
Hey.
Good to see you. And Engineer Eric.
As always.
Without whom this would be impossible. What we say here today shall stay here. What is said here stay? No, it doesn't stay here. That's the thing. Without Eric's genius in mixing, or Curtis's as well, this show would really suck. Now, today we're going to talk a little bit about we have a few comments on Roe.
Yep.
Libby.
Yep.
Want to talk a little bit about the Paris riots, which unfortunately Jack Rhodes is not here, but that's okay. We can, and maybe a little bit about drugs. Ooh, always like drugs.
Yeah.
Now, there was an article in the paper about how the Mexicans are taking over, and being here from Florida, we have been on the leading edge, so to speak, of the drug war and
the drug razor.
That's right, the drug. And what is going to be interesting, I think, as the drugs switch over to Mexico / Texas / Arizona / New Mexico, the question will be, do you think by any wild chance they're going to spend any fewer dollars here in Florida on the drug war? And the answer is...
Niet.
That's right. You get behind one. That's right. No. Okay. So go ahead. You had a Curtis. You had a little.
Yeah, I had a comment on the Karl Rove Libby thing. We haven't talked about that much. I just wanted to say this is my analysis of the situation. Here they are. They're trying to figure out. The investigation stems from the idea that the administration led the American people into war.
Right. And lied.
And what they're saying in terms of Libby and Rove's involvement is that there's this ambassador, Joe Wilson,
mm-hmm.
and his wife, Valerie Plame.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife is a CIA operative.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're trying to imply is that Libby and Cheney and Rove, or all the three, all the above, or one of the three, or combination of the three, leaked her name to the press
mm-hmm.
in order to what? I'm guessing... discredit. Or that's what they've said. They've implied that they're going to try to discredit Wilson.
Right. That's exactly right.
Drum him out. How does that discredit him if his wife is a CIA operative?
I think where that stems from is the article, the op-ed piece that he originally wrote. Where this stems from is the op-ed piece that he originally wrote, I believe, in the New York Times.
Wilson wrote.
Yes. Wilson wrote a piece in the New York Times that basically bashed the Bush administration for their handling of... the run-up to the war.
The intelligence
and so forth. That's right. And he basically said, I was over there and I, you know, Niger cake, yellow cake, whatever. Well, then, of course, the Bush administration, as you expect they might, and, of course, other reporters came in and said, well, what about this? And the thinking is that, gosh, if we get bashed by Joe Wilson, what retribution can we take? Which is reminiscent of the Clinton administration, who always attacked the messenger. So the thinking is that the administration said, look, he lied in his op-ed piece. He lied, and here's how we're going to prove it. We're going to out his wife, and we're going to tell you that, in fact, the only reason he went over there was to discredit the administration, and his wife was instrumental, not only instrumental, but basically was the reason that he went. And together, they are a cabal of two that are against the administration, and so we're going to tell you that these people have an agenda, and their agenda is to hurt the Bush administration. And in order to tell you about their agenda, we have to tell you about the wife, who is an operative. That is the thinking in some terms. Do you understand?
Almost.
Okay.
So what they're saying, what you're saying is that if they say that he's gone over there because of his wife's involvement,
yes. his wife was the reason. Basically, there was an I'm not sure there was an actual reason to go, but when he was chosen by his wife to go to look into the Liberian Nigerian. Excuse me, the Nigerian yellow cake Iraq connection, and he was selected. But the CIA, of course, was doing all of the background investigation, right? I mean, they were doing a lot of the, in the run-up to the war, they were looking all over the place. Well, they wanted to look in, somebody had, there's the Italians, and I think maybe the Brits had said, look, there's uranium, you know, processed or non-processed uranium being bought by Saddam Hussein, and so we better send somebody over there. And what Valerie said, Valerie Plame said, oh, we'll send Joe Wilson. Surprise, surprise, it's her husband. And Joe Wilson has an agenda.
Okay, so...
went over there thinking that, what can I go over... How can I go over here to discredit? Or how, when he gets back, he wants to discredit. At some point in the time, he turns against the Bush administration. And the Bush administration, in fighting back, said, well, gee, why did he go in the first place? Oh, his wife, a CIA operative, made sure that he went, and if it had been anybody else, it would have been okay, or if it, you know, maybe we wouldn't have had this.
So in other words, she picks him to go over there. He claims there's no connection. He comes back and says there's no connection.
He comes back and says, actually, he comes back and says that he doesn't know. I believe that. Now, I could be proven wrong here, but I believe that his op-ed piece, as far as the uranium cake was, he said he couldn't find it,
right?
But he didn't, that didn't mean it wasn't there, you know, not proving a negative, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And I don't know what I'm not one of these insider Washington people.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I am. Right. Yes, you are.
Genetically, you are.
Genetically, that's true. That's
not
true.
Through upbringing.
No, the point is that he apparently, in someplace else in this extensive op-ed piece, he bashed the Bush administration. I don't know whether it had to do with the yellow cake or something else. But
what's the deal with the yellow cake?
The yellow cake is the...
Made out of uranium?
Yeah, it is. Yellow cake is a uranium isotope, or not isotope, but a...
You don't eat it.
No. No. No, no, no. It is not... No, it is not... German chocolate cake.
Frosty yellow cake. No.
Right, yeah, right. Frosty yellow cake.
No, that's the stuff that they actually pull out of the ground, that they begin with in the refining process, okay, which they ultimately end up with the ore.
I can see
and
why
they ultimately end up with the...
Exactly.
That's right. Wait a minute. They ultimately end up with the whore. No, the ore. I'm sorry, the ore. I thought you'd switch subjects there. You switched to Paris.
That's it.
No, not yet. Okay, good. No, so I can understand your confusion there, Eric, on the yellow cake. I'm certainly...
I love yellow cake.
I understand that.
Both kinds.
Let's get some and do some damage.
So my question is this: how does the undermining of Joe's motivation to go over there undermine his report?
Apparently, when the Senate did an investigation later on, after after the war had been started, and they started doing the 2020 hindsight business, which is so easy to do, they found out that he'd lied. Let me put it this way: he did not submit a written report to the CIA. He submitted a verbal report, and I don't know if you know how I understand this is the way the CIA works. If they deem it important enough to be of national concern or intelligence, so to speak, then you write it down. If you don't write it down, it's hearsay. It's a myth. So the first piece of writing down he did, apparently, was this op-ed piece. And the Bush administration says, whoa, hello, wait a minute. You're over there as a CIA rep, so to speak, looking for this stuff. Your wife, who is an operative, and of course the thinking is that when she was outed, the illegal part had to do from the 1992 or 82 or law that said you're not allowed to. Previously, interestingly enough, you were allowed to out somebody. You were allowed to point to somebody and say that is, and not get arrested for it. That is a CIA agent. And just 10, 15, 20 years ago, you're not allowed to do that anymore. So the thinking was that Novak and the other people had outed Valerie Plame as a CIA undercover agent, illegal, and the investigation was on.
But my point again is, how does that cut into Joe Wilson's argument? How does his wife being a CIA operative cut into his argument against the Bush administration?
That is a good question. I think it has to do with the fact that she was instrumental in seeing that he was the one that went over there.
So in other words, he wasn't going over there in his ambassador capacity. He's going over there as a CIA agent, and therefore his conclusions should be more suspect or something.
Yes.
Okay. If that's the case, to me, their argument against Rove and Libby and Cheney seems ridiculous.
It's thin.
Yeah.
I think it's thin.
There's two reasons I can see why. Number one, if Cheney and those guys wanted something to happen with the CIA, all they have to do is pick up the phone. If they want Valerie Plame fired, she's done.
Really?
Yeah. The CIA answers directly to Bush.
I did not know that.
The CIA is there to protect Bush. That's their job, is to protect the president.
No. That's the Secret Service. The CIA is our foreign intelligence agency. That's what it is. The CIA is our foreign FBI.
Okay. Still, it doesn't seem to me to be a far stretch that he could pick up the phone and have something done.
I don't think so. I know that he does appoint the director of the CIA, and I suppose, I'm guessing he could fire the director, he could call up the director of the CIA and say, I will fire you unless you fire this person. Mm-hmm. So from that standpoint, it might be kind of a rubber bandy thing to get in there.
It seems to me like it's an executive agency and that he has a lot of power over.
I guess it is. Yes, it would be an executive agency, but he has certainly a lot of power, but he doesn't have the same kind of power that he has, for instance, over the Justice Department.
Okay. Now, the next thing I think about
the NSA
is that if they're implying with this leak crime type thing that, I mean, what everybody assumes, the common thought is, well, if you're going to out a CIA agent, an operative, then you put their lives in jeopardy.
Right.
What everybody talks about is, well, if we out this person, then all the entire connection, the whole network web that they've got set up, all those people are in danger.
Right.
It's their very lives are in danger.
Right.
In other words, they're implying that the Bush administration wanted to physically harm or at least place these people in physical harm's way. Plame and the rest of her group.
Right. Hard to believe.
Hard to believe. And also, it seems extremely hard to believe that if they really wanted to do that, that the way that they would do it is to leak some information to the press.
Yeah, what you do is you leak it to an operative from Libya.
Yeah, I mean, why do you leak it to the press, hoping the press is going to do something about it, and then some foreign operative is going to take some action to interdict Plame or do something with?
Well, I think as much as anything, the worry about outing somebody is not so much that person as it is the network. All the people that she talked to in wherever it was. They can certainly go back and find out that she talked to this person, that person, and they are suddenly suspect, and they may still be in the field.
Right.
That is why, of course, there was, interestingly, a statute of limitations, which was 5 years. Once you came back and were essentially not actually operating undercover for a period of 5 years or more, then you could be outed, so to speak, because you weren't being outed.
And apparently she's not on the knock list anyway.
This is where the whole thing, like we say, is thin. Thin. It reminds me of...
It's a Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, Lethal Weapon,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Thin. Danny Glover. Yeah. Thin, eh? You're going to bust, Rosie. You're going to bust, Rosie. That is... Kaboom. Yeah. So, yes, the deal is not only is it thin because there is the real possibility that it's been more than 5 years, so that she wasn't undercover to begin with. Everybody knew who she was just because she had a different name. It was easy enough to find out.
Yeah, apparently she'd appeared in some magazines and such.
Always with the sunglasses and everything, mm-hmm. I suppose. But as you well know, to continue on with this, Libby is not being accused of any of that.
Right. Well, and that's the other amazing thing about this that we've talked about.
This is how it gets even thinner.
Yeah.
We have switched from something that was thin to begin with.
Right.
Now it's
transparent. And now we're going to use it over here, and we're going to say, the way, you lied about that
right.
thing that didn't happen.
And this is peculiar to me because I know that in an investigation for any type of crime that I've been a part of, if they think that the person who has they think has done the crime is telling a lie, they don't just charge the person with perjury. They charge the person with the actual crime. And then you put them up on the stand. They lie. And you tell the jury they lied. You don't charge him with the perjury in the investigation. You charge him with the actual thing. And then you put him up there and you say they're lying. I mean, let's face it. Every criminal defendant says they didn't do it. So you don't charge, you don't bring them in, put them under deposition, or you don't take their statement and then charge them with...
Only with perjury.
Right.
Well, but what about the people, though, that and this may be the case here, is that you didn't commit the crime, you had knowledge of it, and you deny knowledge of the crime.
Well, that's the other thing, is that people are thinking, well, this is just to squeeze the VP out. Well, then you put the VP on trial, and you put this guy up there. Now, maybe that's what Fitzgerald's whole... idea is. He's going to squeeze Libby until Libby squeaks, and then he's going to have somebody on some substantive crime. But I hope that's his idea, because this nitpicking at the side for this super weak, on top of a super weak case, really just seems
super weak. Well, we've chatted about this before, and it has to do with the genetic makeup mentality of prosecutors.
Yeah, he's going to get whatever he figures is out there.
I mean, you don't spend $10 million or whatever he's spent so far and come up and say, "Whoops, nope, nothing there." you just don't. I mean, you have to come away with something, or I guess your career is wounded. Or I'm not sure exactly. It's interesting to see how both sides in the press, in the pundits. I was watching McNeil Lehrer with the Friday is always one of my favorite shows, and you have both sides with David Brooks and Mark Shields, and to talk to those people, it's like they're from different planets. One guy says this is the worst, this makes Watergate look tame.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy says it's nothing, it's thin to the point of, as you've just said, Eric, transparency. I mean, it is gossamer.
Makes
gossamer
Claudia Schiffer look fat.
That's right. This makes exactly spider one single spider strand is a virtual Alaskan pipeline compared to this. And of course, the courts will obviously sort this out. But in the meantime, of course, this guy's on the hook. I guess he's out of a job for the time being.
Well, that sucks. I mean, you know,
he's out of a job, and he's going to have to pay $1 million for attorneys.
For legal fees, right?
Legal fees can be $1 million at least. It's just maybe just go to jail. Well, they said no. Unfortunately, he could go for 30 years or something. According to
this. I'm confident. Everything these days is decades.
What before what?
Well, I mean, the amount of time that you're, if you get charged with a crime, the amount of time that you're facing is far more time than you can handle spending in jail, no matter who you are, no matter what crime it is.
And even if it's a white-collar jail, you know, the quote, country club, unquote.
Yeah.
I had a friend of mine, I'm going to put it this way, I had an acquaintance of mine who spent some time in one of those country club jails. He says, it ain't no country club.
Yeah, no. Jail is jail, man. The guards rough you up.
Yep.
If you're a free American, that sucks.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Well, that's all I have to say about that.
Well, the question, I think the trial begins in February, actually. I think it's actually fairly quick in terms of government actions.
Well, they said it was going to take a couple years.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think
it'll take that long. Well, yeah, I mean, it depends on how involved they want to get. If they want to subpoena everybody in sight and the judge gives them leeway to do that, then they could do it.
Well, if they get a Judge Ito up there, it could go on forever.
Well, right.
But if they get get some judge that waves
a hanging judge,
you know, the Dems will try to. Yeah, exactly. The Dems will try to get it so that it
drags on through the election.
Well, right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, down to the election.
That's right.
Time.
That's the whole thing. And of course, ideally, what you'd like to have is a conviction under the day before the election.
Right.
To have the conviction announced for 50 years and, you know, and everybody in sight gets convicted. No, that's right. Well, I don't think that's going to happen. As I say, it's thin in spite of the fact that you've got, when you think about all the resources, one of the things that you and I both know is that anybody can arrest you for anything.
Yeah.
I mean, and they can probably
find... They look hard enough.
If they look... As I was thinking the other day, there is nobody who's been president, vice president, or who has been anything, who hasn't done something wrong in their life.
Yeah.
I mean,
especially these days.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't even have to try to do anything wrong these days.
That's right. So they can always dig up something on you. Okay, we can move on then from that.
Yeah.
The next thing I noticed that is kind of in the news is the Paris, is what they call in the paper, the Paris unrest. I mean, there are thousands of people. There we go. they're out there. The Paris unrest, it is a, it's mostly Africans, right? People from Africa, that is to say. I don't mean people of color necessarily, but as we all know, Algeria was freed or beat up on France or whatever, was part of the French Empire in colonial times, is not anymore. But all those people, as were in the British center of influence, if you were born in India or Pakistan, you could go to Britain free, basically, like as we can go to St. Croix or you know, Puerto Rico or something and not have to go through. We don't have to go through customs for that, do we? No.
Yeah, you still got to go through customs.
You do?
Yeah.
Wait a minute now. You don't have to go through customs. Really?
You don't have to bring your passport.
You don't have to go through customs to go to Hawaii.
No.
Or Alaska.
No.
But you do for St. Croix or Puerto I did Rico. Not know that. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Well, that sort of sucks in a way. I thought they were a little closer to us than that. You have to go through customs to Cuba probably too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, okay, no kidding.
You go through the shredder.
It's a nothing customs thing. I mean, it's just a walkthrough thing. I mean, it's nothing. It's not like you'd come back from you know, when we come back in from Cozumel or something.
Really?
Yeah, this customs is just like a walkthrough.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Do they do it there?
Okay. You do it before you get on the plane.
Before you get on the plane. Okay, fine. So anyway, the Paris, apparently it's a lot of these people that are what? From originally maybe from, they call them the minorities.
Right. I heard that it was
Muslims and that kind of thing.
Immigrant rich area.
But the unrest, as they call it, what is it? Is the, they used to call the war between the states, they had a name for that. It wasn't an insurrection, it was the war of somewhat differences or something like that, depending on what side you were on. The point is that over 600 people are out there making in Molotov factories, throwing Molotov cocktails all over the place. Paris, and actually it's all through northern France. It goes over to Normandy. I mean, this is hardly what you'd call unrest. They have thousands of policemen, you know, with helicopters, big guns, everything, chasing these people down. And they're, can you imagine, though, if you live in one of these places, and I say in one of these places, I'm someplace up in there, you're in some regular old neighborhood, and a bunch of people come through, and all of the cars on your side of the street are torched. Just for no reason, just because they happen to be out there.
Oops.
I mean, well, yeah, oops. And they're doing it deliberately. I mean, with these Molotov, I'd be upset about that, I can tell you.
Well, it's true. The question is, what do you do about it? And it's the same kind of unrest that we have here when you look at the militia groups. Basically, you've got people that are taking up arms against the government because they don't want the government interfering in their stuff anymore.
Well, of course, it reminds me more of the Watts-type stuff that they had during the early civil rights things that we had here, when they would burn down their own town to protest, which they had in Washington, D.C., Detroit, and in Watts. Of course, they're the three big ones that I remember. But it was always amazing to me how people would go out in the streets and burn down their own village or their own area to protest. I'm thinking, what you do is you go to Brentwood, for God's sakes, and burn down O.J.'s house or something.
Well, the problem is that they don't have any power. And so they can't really mount any sort of offensive. I mean, if they could, they'd go to City Hall and burn that down.
I suppose.
But they'd get wiped out.
They would. And, of course, apparently they have become totally dissolute or disillusioned with the system. And because, as we have talked about before, once you engage in violence, you allow violence in, then that means the next guy can use violence. And that's where it tends to fall apart. Well, at any rate, I think that one of the things that comes to mind immediately, of course, is that in France they've got the 35-hour and less work week. As you probably know, a lot of those quasi-socialist countries over there have got mandatory vacation time, mandatory, you can't work more than 35 hours, for instance, in France, and there's a mandatory 1 month or 6 weeks vacation and mandatory 6 months or a year off if you have a child and so forth. Basically, nobody's working over there. They got like a 15% unemployment rate. I mean, what else are you going to do? Let's go out and riot. this is the idle hands are the devil's workshop.
Yep.
Yeah, I heard it was students, which is difficult to imagine
I can tell you, having been over, I was over there one time in Paris when these students were marching, and they stream out of the Sorbonne or someplace. They're not high school, these are college students, and they stream out and march in the streets and take over, and basically they get to do it.
Man, Paris, you get caught, you have to prove your own innocence.
Say what now?
It's guilty until proven innocent over there.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
A little bit reversed.
You think? No, but it's, I think what it is those people have too much time on their hands. And one of the reasons, interestingly, that they have a 35-hour work week, to digress just slightly, actually, it's not much of a digression, that it has been long thought that if you reduce the work week, that you can have more people working. That's the theory. In fact, in 1938, I guess it was, in the United States, when we passed the 40-hour work week, and then mandatory time and a half for overtime, took effect in 1940. So it's been around here for a while. And the thinking was, the unions were very, very strong back in those days, and their thinking was, look, if you reduce the work week, you can have, that way you can have fuller employment. Well, as we can see, it doesn't work in France. They've reduced the work week to 35 hours, and they still are running three times what our unemployment is here in this country. And so they have all these people wandering around with basically nothing to do, and they don't understand why, and they don't get the picture that merely by reducing the work week, that they have not only hurt their productivity dramatically, but the unemployment rate didn't go down. And it's been that way for 30 years, and they're still thinking, they're scratching their heads, wondering, eh bien, I wonder what this is, what happening here.
Je ne sais pas.
Je ne sais pas, that's right. So I think that they are doomed to have this kind of unrest for a long time until they get the systemic picture out of the way, which is they need to... I'm using the word need, aren't I? As I mentioned, there's at least one person in my life who uses the word need, and if that word were eliminated from her vocabulary, we would not hear from her again. I don't think. It's always what I need to do. So let me back up on that. So they're stuck. Too bad. Sorry, my French amis.
Yeah, and what's unfortunate is that the protest lines that I've heard, and I haven't checked the French blogs.
Oh, I checked one of them.
Did you?
Yeah, the Civil War has started.
Really?
Yes.
That's what they said.
The Civil War has started.
Wow.
This is different from the Arab Street. This is the Paris Street.
How long has the riots been going on over there?
Like 9 days.
Yeah, 9 days.
Yeah, wow. Mm.
I mean, they're not letting up. And this is because, when you think about it, this is the same kind of thing that happened once in this country when they had the riots up there that Sharpton was involved in, when the two kids were shot by policemen or something, and they had all the riots, Bedford or something like that, Bedford-Stuyvesant, I think, or something. But here it was two kids ran into an electrical something or another and got zapped. And I mean, they were running away from something.
The police.
Yeah.
And that's what they've said, is that it's really the crackdown by the police that has stirred this unrest. That is to say, those people in those areas feel like they're being treated unfairly on a regular basis.
So they're going to go out and burn all their own cars and everything.
Well, why not? You know,
yeah,
sure. Gotta do something.
I guess. Yeah, you're right. Better. Is it more fun than TV?
Yeah, I guess so.
This is more fun than French TV.
I guess. Yeah. The you know, and they speak a foreign language over there.
I know. It's weird.
I can't understand a word.
It's like those French have a different word for everything.
That's right. That's just amazing. The fromage-eating monk, surrender monkeys.
But we love it over there.
Yeah, no, I love them. Oh, no, it's very, very disappointing because I love the food. I mean, I go over there tomorrow for the food.
Mm-hmm.
Honest to gosh. And I like to, as you know, I like to go around and monkey with the language.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have my 300 well-known French words that get rearranged. That is a permutation of words that I can say lots of things with those 300 words very nicely.
You ride the PGV.
That sounds like a steam engine. That's called the TGV.
TGV.
The very fast train.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate. That is not... One of the things about the TGV, of course, what doesn't sound like that is that the tracks are all welded together.
Right.
And so you don't hear the clickety, 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 clack.
Right, right.
You hear the clink of glasses, of course, in the champagne room, or when we have a little tour enhancement. Tour enhancement with us, as you call it. I love that. We have our tickets. Yes. We have our baggage. Yes. Do we have our tour enhancement? New Year's.
Yes. We have supply of froggy bucks.
That's right. We have froggy bucks. That's right. We have froggy bucks, and we have our tire bouchon. We have our wine.
Chateau de Sicily.
Chateau de Sicily. That's right. From the luxury skit. We'll have to put the luxury skit on there.
Yep.
That's probably about one of the funniest things that Monty Python has ever done from Hollywood Bowl, for those of you who do not understand what we're talking about. So at any rate, when are the riots going to end? We don't know. And do we really care that much? I don't think so. Maybe Jacques
Chirac.
That's
just interesting. Next time somebody points to France as an example of
Civility and stuff. Right. Yes, they're so right. Exactly. They're burning themselves down crazy across the northern. It's actually, I think it's like 100. I mean, everybody's joining in. It's like a big party. It's for hundreds of miles. I mean, it's not just Paris by a long shot. In fact, it started outside of Paris in the northeast, up there in the poorer section, unquote. But it's stretched to Normandy, which is, you know, 150 miles away or something. I mean, so they're on the march.
They're bar hopping.
Where's Joan of Arc when you need her?
Yeah. Hey, you going down to the burning?
Yeah. Let's all go down here. That's right. You got your Molotov? You got your cocktail? Your Molotov cocktail?
Yeah. Molotov.
That's right. Okay, so at any rate, I think we beat that to death.
Yep.
Shall we move on?
Yep.
What does our time frame look like there?
We're 33 minutes.
Good. Well, that maybe we can...
30 minutes, almost exactly.
Okay, we could make a cut here if we had to.
Yep.
Okay.